Hello and welcome to this reflection from Stratton Vale Baptist Church. We've just started a series looking into what it means to pray dangerous prayers. And last week we looked more generally about kind of what dangerous prayer actually is. But this week we're going to look at the idea of what David prayed in Psalm 139 and the dangerous nature of that prayer. So I'm just going to read from Psalm 139. Verses 23 to 24. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. They're powerful words that really ask God to know our hearts. Now I want to begin with a disclaimer. These prayers that we are saying to God could change you. This prayer might open your heart to become more aware of the sin and darkness in your heart. You may feel compelled to take bold, radical steps of faith. You may feel God calling you to take an honest, deep look inside to yourself. He might tell you to stop pretending to yourself about parts of your life. God may tell you that you need to leave your life of comfort and safety and step into his life of adventure and risk. Are we prepared to pray these prayers, knowing that God could radically change your life? Do not pray these prayers if you don't mean it, if you don't truly want God to work in you. It's important that we pray these prayers with the honesty and sincerity of our heart. Jesus warns us that we will face challenges if we walk faithfully after him, if we pray dangerous prayers that ask God to transform us. So are we ready to ask God to search our hearts and make the changes we need? In Psalm 139, David asked God to search his heart. What is the state of your heart? Do you know what your heart desires? Do you know the very depths of your heart? Our instinctive answer is to say, yes, I know what my heart desires. I know the depths of my heart. After all, it's my heart, and so I should know what it feels like. But the reality is we don't truly know the fullness of our hearts. We also often want to say that, broadly speaking, our hearts are good. We know why we do the things we do, and we do them for good, pure motivations. We might be tempted to say, yeah, sure, I have elements of darkness and sin, but generally speaking, I am a good person with a good heart that desires good things. But God tells us differently. In Jeremiah 17, verse 9, God tells the people of Israel, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Our hearts are deceitful above all things. We fool ourselves into thinking we are without reproach, and yet God knows the truth of our hearts. We are good at rationalising things. We don't like to admit to the ugly truth that we are flawed, fallen human beings. We don't like to face reality that we think things we're ashamed of if other people knew, laugh at other people's mistakes, drink too much, eat too much, lie, make excuses. We convince ourselves that things are not a problem. I'm not materialistic. I just like nice things. I'm not a gossip. I'm just telling them so they can pray. I'm not greedy. I just appreciate the food God has given me. I don't have a problem. This is just the one thing I do to cope. David prays that God would search his heart because he knows that he needs God to cope with what he was facing. So just to give you a bit of context, David prays this psalm as he has been chased by King Saul and the full force of his army. David has been falsely accused by Saul for plotting to assassinate the king. And so David has to flee, with his integrity questioned, his commitment to both the king and God in suspicion. I imagine that David would have been tempted to cope by becoming angry, bitter, resentful. He might have attempted to harm or kill Saul in an act of self-preservation. That would have been a human response to such difficult circumstances. But David doesn't want to live according to the selfish and base desires of his heart. He longs to follow God and walk in his footsteps. But he knows that he cannot do that unless God helps him. And so David pleads with God to search his heart and help him to align his desires, his heart, with God's. So what do our hearts long for? And how can we call upon God to change our hearts of stone into hearts of flesh, to transform us so that we reflect his heart to the world around us? So firstly, our heart is all about self, not Christ. When we look at the world, we see it from a very self-focused perspective. A question that we are socialised to ask is, what is in it for me? I remember a Friends episode in which the characters debated whether there was truly anything that was a purely good deed. Joey argued that even the deeds that we did that seemingly give us nothing in return are done to give us that good feeling and thus are still selfish. Now, whether you agree with Jerry or not is up to debate, but it does demonstrate the point that the heart's primary focus is on serving the self. However, Christ calls us to a different way of living. He calls us to a life of self-sacrifice that looks to serving the needs of others. Christ calls us to voluntarily give up the right to self and instead take on Christ. As Paul says in Galatians 2, verse 19 to 20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. In the Message translation of the verse, it says, indeed, I have been crucified with Christ. My ego is no longer central. When we truly follow God, our ego takes a back seat. But it often slips back into the driver's seat. And so we have to ask for God to search our hearts and put our ego, our own will, back in its place so that he can take control. Our hearts care about ourselves, not about following Christ. So we need God to make that change. Secondly, our hearts care about what is temporary, not about what is eternal. Our hearts are inherently selfish. They are also very now-driven. We focus on what is happening in the present and the temporary, rather than longing for the eternal. Paul reminded the Philippians that our citizenship is in heaven, and yet we live like we are citizens of the earth. And then he spoke to the Corinthians in a similar way. So I'm just going to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 to 10. Let me find that. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwellings, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now, the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit of guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due to us for the things we have done while in the body, whether good or bad. Paul states that while we are in these bodies, we ache and groan with longing for our heavenly bodies. Now let's be honest with ourselves now. How much are we truly aching and groaning and longing for that, with that desperation to be in our heavenly bodies? If I'm being honest, there are parts of me that long for that. And unfortunately, that's mainly because those parts of my bodies ache with pain. And so I selfishly would quite like to be in a heavenly body that does not feel pain. But there is a large part of me that is quite comfortable where I am. I need to ask God to search my heart and rekindle the fire that reminds me that I am a citizen of heaven. What about you? What is your heart longing for? To stay and enjoy this world in our earthly bodies, or to know the eternal joy of being in our heavenly bodies? God has called us to enjoy this life, yes, but always with the knowledge that our true home is with him, and that all we do in this life is to glorify him and help others know about God too. Our hearts desire what is easy over what is right. There's a quote from Harry Potter in which Dumbledore talks to Harry and he says, "Dark times lie ahead of us, and there must be a time when we choose between what is easy and what is right." We naturally tend to choose the easy path, even if we know that what we should be doing is what is right. This is most clear in matters of justice. It is hard to stand up and fight for what is right. And so often we just choose to follow the status quo, not make a noise, and allow things to stay the same. A quote that is often misattributed to Edward Burke says, "The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing." God calls us to be different. In Isaiah 42, God says, "I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeons those who sit in darkness, to stand up for the oppressed, to set the captives free." God cares about justice, and he desires to use his people to stand against injustice and evil. Are we prepared to be used by God to fight against the injustices in this world? Are we prepared to be different? Can we let God search our hearts and highlight where we need to do what is right instead of what is easy? And finally, our hearts are obsessed with what we want rather than what God wants. In Proverbs 19, verse 21, it says, "Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." We have so many plans and ideas that we want to put into motion, and yet it is God's plans that we need to be following. How many times have we asked God to bless our own plans rather than providing us into insight of his plans? One of the most significant moments when I realised that I was expecting God to bless my plans rather than following his own was when I went to university to study history. I remember that moment where God told me I was not going to be a history teacher, and I sat in a room and was stunned, and I actually said to God, "But this was our plan. What do you mean I'm not going to be a history teacher?" And then I felt God saying, "No, that was your plan. My plan is something different." I was convinced that I knew what path my life should take. I was convinced that I knew what was best and right for my life. But God showed me that he is in control, and his plans are far greater than my own. Are you aware of an area of your life in which you have expected God to bless your own plans instead of following his? Allow God to search your heart and point out where we have made our own plans instead of allowing God to direct us. There are so many ways in which our hearts deceive us into thinking we are going in the right direction and doing the right things, and there is nothing wrong. But God's word reminds us of how easily we are swayed by selfishness, pride, arrogance, the desire to be in control of our own destiny. Are we willing to say to God, "Search my heart and take back control"?